Well, throughout the last 3 weeks, we've been reading from the Old Testament the story of David and those who have come after him. And we're right now at that point in the history of the Jewish people where the conflict between Judah in the south, represented by Solomon's son Rehoboam, and they are worshiping in Jerusalem, is contrasted with a man by the name of Jeroboam, who is now responsible for the 10 northern tribes. And what's striking about this reading is that although Jeroboam himself had been told by the Lord that God was going to bring about this division as a form of judgment on Solomon for his apostasy, that Jeroboam takes matters into his own hand. And this is always devastating, particularly when it happens in the church. When no longer desiring to follow the way that the Lord has prescribed and set out, we choose to do things our own way. If you look at the history of 2,000 years of Christianity, we see the devastating effects of this in so many ways. In part because of the corruptions that existed in the church in the 16th century, this resulted in the rise of Protestantism. And within Protestantism, like with Jeroboam, there were all sorts of things that they said, we're going to amputate this part of the church and that part of the church, and we're going to set up our own ways of doing things. And of course, within the context of the Catholic Church itself, those times when people in leadership take matters into their own hands and determine their own way of governance, it always leads to disaster. But here's the wonderful news of the gospel. Jesus is always faithful. And when his people rediscover what it is to trust in him and to depend on him completely, miracles happen. There's something that takes place within the context of the community that is growing in this kind of trust. And this is what we see at play in Mark's gospel. If you have time over the weekend, I would invite you to read Mark chapter 6 through to the end of chapter 8. And you'll notice at the beginning of chapter 6, we have the first feeding miracle. 5,000 people, Jews. Why five? Five is representative of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. And so to the five books, the 5,000, there are then 12 baskets full left over. Why 12? Because Jesus is constituting, bringing together the new Israel, the new tribes. But then as we move through the next part of Mark's gospel, we see that increasingly Jesus is in Gentile territory. The other day we had the story of him healing the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. Yesterday we had the story of the man who had been born both deaf and mute, also a Gentile, and Jesus heals him. And then in today's gospel, we have the second of these feeding stories. And the interesting thing is, here, there are going to be the 7 loaves of bread. What do these represent? Well, if you know the story of Israel, that as Israel went into the land, they displaced the 7 nations that had been in the land of Palestine. And then we're told that he's feeding the 4,000. What's the significance of the number 4? The 4 points of the compass. That the gospel now is to go to all corners of the world. And what does that mean for the church? It means that in every generation, in every context, we come to Jesus Christ in our weakness. We come to him with what we have. And we say, Jesus, we give this to you. And I want you to take this, and I want to trust you, and I want to order the life of the community in such a way that we will allow you to take this and to multiply it. One of the things that we are committed to at St. Peter's is to be a community that is increasingly growing in this dependence and intimacy with the Lord. And as we do this, and as we seek to be a community that honors the magisterial teaching of the church, as we seek to be a congregation where we want to know the will of God, then rather than being like Jeroboam, we will become more and more a community that will attract a community that will invite, a community that will welcome those who, as Jesus were told at the beginning of our text, has compassion for the crowd, and he wants to sustain them. So may we on this day be inspired by the example of our Blessed Mother, whose will was always to do the will of the Father and to honor her most beloved Son. May our prayer be one where we desire the same, so that we can participate in the abundance of grace, the abundant generosity that Jesus is always desiring to share. But he shares it with those who in humility say, Jesus, I come to you empty. Please be the one who works your miracle.